Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, and God bless everybody. We just thank God for this one more day that the Lord has made. We are good morning, everyone. We just thank God for just one more day that the Lord has made. And right now, we just want to thank him and praise him for all that he's done for us. We just thank God for everything that is manifest, how he has just shown himself mighty throughout the week. I know that so many of us have gone through some things throughout this week, but this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it because we have just so much to be thankful for. God is faithful. God is good. God is awesome. And the amazing thing is that God has called us into the kingdom. When we look back over our life and think things over, the song says, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. And that's what this broadcast is about telling the goodness of God, sharing testimonies of God's goodness, God's faithfulness. And we just are excited about the day. As I'm here in our home broadcasting on behalf of the main host, evangelist or minister Billy Burns, who was out of the city and unable to get called in right now. But I'm just glancing out the window and seeing the handiwork of God as the leaves are beginning to turn colors and painting such a pretty picture throughout the landscape. Because of how powerful and how awesome he is, we are able to view these things. And when we consider the stars in the sky, when we consider the vast universe, and more than that, when we consider that he has numbered even the number of hairs on our head, he knows that much, he cares about us that much, that there is nothing that surprises God about what comes upon us. In fact, he has already prepared for it. He has already prepared you for it. And even if it's a situation of temptation and danger, the Bible lets us know that he is, even before the temptation came upon us, he has already prepared a way of escape. There's just so much to say about God, and I don't want to just be all over the place, but there's just so much to say, so much, so many good things about Jesus that we just can't help but praise him. And that's why our theme song is, I just want to praise him because of his goodness. And again, good morning to everyone who is listening in. We just thank you for making us a part of your Saturday morning or whenever you're listening in. For this is, again, the day that the Lord has made. And as I mentioned before, Minister Burns is out of the city, has not been able to call in as of yet, and we're just carrying on. And our theme for this last month has just been going back and listening to some of the awesome testimonies that have been broadcast. And we have another such one today that just tells of how powerful God is, and even in our families. Sometimes we have some situations in our families, and people think that sometimes because you're saved or because you're Christians or because you're in the church that things are different. And things are different, but we are still flesh and blood. We still have issues. We still have personalities. Our personalities didn't necessarily go away when we went down in the water and came back up. But through the Holy Spirit, we are able to just help to curb our behavior in some cases, change our attitude in some cases, and then sometimes we just let our carnality or our flesh get the best of us so that we still have real problems. We still have real problems in marriages. We still have real problems in situations with our family. But we have a testimony today that will just show you how powerful God is, that when a relationship seemingly has gone to where it's just beyond repair, how God is able to just restore things. And we just thank God for that today. And we're not going to delay a lot of time, but I just wanted to share with you just how that recently in our in my home assembly, we spoke of the end, a sermon series called The End. And one of the things that I just got out of that as we looked at the book of Revelations, which the pastors made it the equivalent of turning to the back of the book and seeing what the end is. And that's the Bible is that type of book that you can turn to the end and see what the end is going to be. And, you know, when you do that, it's just so exciting. It doesn't destroy the reading of the beginning of the book like some books are, but it just makes you more and more excited. And then you can go back and, with great excitement, just look at the beginnings and the things that the prophets and the apostles and that Jesus and the saints went through, and apply that to our lives, the things that we are going through, the things that we've been through. And the bottom line is when we look at the end in the book of Revelations, what we see is this great picture of victory and just knowledge that in the end we know that we win. We win. Satan is defeated. He's destroyed. He's cast down to the bottomless pit. And in the end, we win and we live with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever in glory. And that's just an exciting thing. And when I know that the fight is in the bag, when we know that we've won and it's just a matter of going through the different phases, we can stand there. Sometimes the things that we go through are tough, but just keep this thought in mind. In the end, we win. The Bible lets us know that in the end, when it's all said and done, when the dust is all settled, when the new heaven and the new earth is in place, the old things are passed away, we in our new life, in our new body, we are standing with Jesus. We are sitting at his feet. We have won. The victory is ours. And in that same book, it lets us know that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the theme of this broadcast. And we just thank God for that. And let us just look to the Lord as we go into our testimony today, and let's just pray that God's blessing will be on this broadcast, that the words that go forth will be anointed, will be healing, will just give, show people that they have hope and that there is nothing, no thing that is too hard for God. We just thank God for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We honor you. We just look to you right now. You are our source. You are our strength. You are our peace. You are our joy. Hallelujah. There is nothing that is too hard for you, and we just worship you right now. You are everything. You provide for us. You've kept us. God, Above all, you saved us. You've made us your children, and you are our God, and we are your people, and we just thank you for the peace that you give us in our heart, the hope that you give us, hallelujah, to know that we, though we might be cast down, we are not destroyed because you are our keeper. The sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night, because you are our keeper. You are our buckler and our shield. You are our protection. Hallelujah. When we put on the whole armor of God, we are putting you on, hallelujah, and we are standing tall in you, protected by you, ready for battle because of you in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you even to know that the battle is not ours, but you've let us know that the battle is yours, that all we have to do is just hear from you, get in the spirit, and let you speak to us as to how to fight this battle. And we'll find, hallelujah, as we have before, that you do the fighting for us, that all we have to do is just stand still and see the salvation of God, just as they did at the Red Sea when Satan, when the army was behind them and the and seemingly impossible sea was in front of them. But you told them to stand still, and as they stood, they saw your glory just open up and open up a way. Father, you've opened up ways in our lives, hallelujah, and we thank you for it. And we pray right now and declare that a way will be made for everyone who's listening in right now. Bless them, Lord God. Keep them. Help them, Lord God, to understand that you are the way, that there is no way, there is no failure in you, that nothing can come upon them that will be able to harm them. We just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all things, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, let every listener, Lord God, wake someone up right now. Cause them to listen in because they need to hear these words today. And Father, even those who cannot get up today, cause them later to be tuned in to the archives and hear these words of this testimony. We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. Heal, Lord God, those who need healing right now. Touch someone, Lord God. Touch their back. Touch their body. Touch their head, Lord God. Hallelujah, that one that that the doctor said that they need surgery, Lord God. Do the work right now and let them even feel, Lord God, the evidence that the work is being done so that they, when they go in and see the doctor again, that they will all be amazed that there will be no need for that surgery, Lord God. Heal relationships. Heal relationships right now, Lord God, that one that seems so broken that it's beyond repair. Bless it right now, Lord God. Let wisdom and love prevail in that situation, whether it's mother against daughter or father against son, husband and wife, siblings, Lord God. Just work all things, Lord God. Let your love come through in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, we just pray for every listener that every need will be supplied, that every need will be met, that they will just be able to rest in you because you said you came that we might have rest. In the name of Jesus, that we should cast our cares upon you. And when we take on your burden is light. We thank you, Lord God. We'll exchange ours. We just right now declare to exchange our burden for that light burden that you would give us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you, we love you, we honor you, we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, we just thank God for today and the guest that we're going to have. This is going to be a rebroadcast, but a rebroadcast of one that I think will be such a blessing to everyone, to let you know that there is just nothing too hard for God. Even when you think you've gone beyond the brink, but you are never gone too far from where God can come and rescue you and bring you back to where he has for you. We just thank God for that in the name of Jesus. And we just want to, before we go into our testimony, give honor to our overall host, Evangelist, our pastor, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, who is the founder of New Destiny Ministries. And we just thank God for her right now. We thank God for her opening up this avenue for us to share God's gospel in the manner that he has inspired my wife, Minister Burns, to do so. And we just thank her for being open to the Holy Spirit to allow us to minister in this way. And before we do go in, and this is a show that our purpose is not necessarily to offer so much teaching and preaching, even though the ministry goes forth because the Word of God is being shared through the testimonies of the saints. And we just want to have an open forum for those who have a testimony for God to testify of his goodness and share with the world what he has done. And as I see callers come in, I will, as I can, acknowledge you. That doesn't mean that you are obligated to say anything. So if I do call on you and you recognize that I'm calling on you, if you don't have anything to say, I'll give you a few seconds to respond. If you don't, you don't have to hang up. Just go on, and we'll just go back to what we were doing. But I do see a caller that has joined in with us. The area code is 917, and the last four are 9100, and I just want to acknowledge that caller and then see if you have a word of testimony that you want to share with us or a request or anything. Are you there, caller? Amen. I didn't get a response, so we'll just go on with our broadcast. And what we're doing this morning, we have a very special guest that had an awesome testimony, a couple, a family who thought that they just had gotten to the end of their marriage, but just how God has blessed them. And without further ado, you're going to hear the voice of our main host for this segment, Minister Billy Burns, as she introduces them, and just enjoy what God is doing for us.
Where Evangelist Adrian Bernard is the host, and I call her the pastor of New Destiny Ministry, and she broadcasts every day at the same number at, she's in California, so her time is so different from ours, but she broadcasts at 3 o'clock Pacific time. It's 4 o'clock Eastern time and 3, that's wrong, it's 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern time and 3 o'clock Central time. So tune in. She has some awesome men and women of God that come on to expound and explain the Word of God, to preach and teach what the Lord would have us to know, and it's just an awesome, she has an awesome ministry, and if you get a chance, just tune in, but if you don't get a chance, you can go to the archives and listen to any of the broadcasts, either Day Overcame broadcast or New Destiny Ministry broadcast. And without further ado, we're going to bring the guest on. I called her this morning, and she was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to come on and tell her story. She and Steve were just, waiting for the time to come. Are you there? Are you there, Michelle?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
How are you today?
Fine. We're just excited.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It's good to hear your voice. I'm just so thankful, that you guys decided that you wanted to give this testimony. It's so important for people to know what God, definitely, for what God is doing, in our lives. He's yet blessing. He's yet doing the things that we take not for granted, but we want the world to know. And we are heard, this broadcast is heard all over the world. It can be heard all over the world. And God proved it to me one Saturday. I had a call-in from the UK. And so that just blessed me. And I said, well, Lord, I can affirm that we are heard around the world. And we know with the Internet and now it's a small thing for us to be heard around the world, but we want the world, that's why I can say, we want the world to know what our Jesus is doing for us.
Amen.
God is good, and he's greatly to be praised. And so I just love, getting the testimonies, and I love for my guests to come on, and you have free reign. Like I told you, Michelle, the length of the broadcast is yours to use. I do have some guests on the line, and I want to give them a chance to say something if they want to. But after we get your testimony, going. And so before you start, I say before you start giving your testimony, but our whole lives are really testimonies to the glory of God. Yes, from the very onset of, and that we have in a lot of, it's not really controversial because people know that once that sperm reaches that egg and they unite, that's the beginning of life. But our lives, like I said, are a testimony to God, because out of all of the sperm and out of all of the eggs, well, there's one egg that can be germified that day, but at that time, but we came out of it. We came out of it, and that's a miracle in itself. That's and even more for a male. It's easy for the girl to be brought forth, but a male is special. Is a special being that God has brought into the world. So before you get into the thrust of your testimony, tell us a little bit about Steve, and then tell us a little bit about Michelle, like where you came from, how you met. I heard Michelle has told me how you guys met, and not actually how you met, but how you got together, Kojic thing. Do you remember telling me that, Michelle? Do you remember telling me that?
Amen.
That was an exciting story to me. I just love hearing how, my husband and I have an interesting meeting. We had an interesting meeting, but it's not our time. It's you guys' time. So go ahead. Steve, however you guys want to do it, just go ahead. and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Michelle, and I am a pastor's daughter. And I was also my father's musician for his church. I taught choirs, and I sang in community choirs. And there was a community choir who was putting on musicals. And at one of the musicals, I was fortunate to lead a song. And at the end of the musical, Steve was actually in the audience with the, and he came with the musician. And we went out to eat afterwards, and at the restaurant is where I first met Steve.
Yes, yes. And the musician that I came with was a musician for my father's church that he pastored in Corona. And my brother's now pastor in that church. We just set out, and we said, hey, let me just go out and see this musical that he's playing for, because being a musician, you know how us musicians travel among each other. So we set out to see this play, and Michelle was there at the play. And I said, I have to, after the musical was over, I said, I have to meet the cast backstage. And this is how it set off a relationship with me and Michelle. I met Michelle over at dinner with the cast, and I set it up where I can sit right across from her. And what's the name of the place?
I
forgot the name of the place, the restaurant. I forgot the name of the restaurant, because that's what you tell you how I wasn't paying attention to the... But I sat right across from her, and I just conversated with her, and we talked, and we found out that she was a pastor's daughter, and I was a pastor's son, and it just clicked off. It just clicked off really nice, really nice. But we left and we departed, and I haven't seen Michelle in a year after that.
Yeah, I think it was either a year or 2 years. We didn't see each other again. And I was invited to go to a church which was walking distance from my father's church. And when I got there, Steve was there. And we started talking and everything. And as time went by, God allowed us to actually start dating. And the rest is history.
But Michelle didn't tell you how she walked in now. She walked in. She didn't... She didn't just walk into my father's church at that time. My father pastored the Good Shepherd. He started the Good Shepherd Church of God in Christ in the Corona, New York. It's still there. And the thing about my brother pastors the church right now. But the thing about it, Michelle came walking in with my other brother, Michael, who's a singer. And he sings around. And as a matter of fact, he's saying he used to be a part of Hezekiah's choir and everything, and he did a lot of background singing and stuff like that, a lot of traveling from Japan and all over Europe. So she comes walking in with my brother Michael. And at the time, I believe Michelle and Michael was...
Yeah, we were seeing each other.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Steve and Michael were brothers.
Ah.
And it was very interesting. It was unbelievable.
So my brother calls himself introducing Michelle to me, and I just looked at her in the eyes and I said, no, we already met.
No, actually, he did not introduce us.
No, he didn't.
He thrust me out of the church instead of introducing us.
he saw that twinkle in your eye, huh, Steve?
Yeah, he seen that twinkle.
And then as time went by, I found out, because I started asking him, well, who's, because they come from a large family. I think there's 8 of them.
Yeah.
So there were so many young people in the church, and I didn't know who was related to who. And when Steve's brother was introducing me to his family, he did not introduce me to Steve. And... as months went on, I asked him, well, who was the guy that played, you were playing Congos, right?
Yes, I was playing.
I was like, who's the guy same color. He said, oh, that's my brother. I was like, that's your brother? Because I didn't know.
Yeah, all my family is musicians. They either play organ, Hammond organ, drums, or congas, or sing.
Yeah.
Most of them, and they did a lot of background singing for a lot of, from Donnie with Kirkling to Hezekiah Walker, you know, all the whole family up there in New York. So we played and sang for a lot of the professionals.
Yeah. So as time went on, of course, that relationship came to an end. And Steve and I, we started talking and everything, and I was very attracted to him because he was a guy of common sense, and he was not disrespectful. He was very down to earth, easy to talk to, and at that point in my life, I wanted to be connected with a man that knew about God, that was very respectful, had a good head on his shoulders, and could look at me more than just the physical, but also me as a person. And that's what I found in Steve.
Well, Michelle had just that beautiful face, and I just fell in love with it. I'm going to be honest with you. And the thing about it, she had a lot of qualities, and that's what a man looks for. He looks for something similar to his mother or something similar to quality, you know, as it's like they say, a diamond in the rough, you know, and Michelle was that diamond in the rough, and I couldn't believe my brother was letting it pass by. So so I said, hey, I got to take advantage of this opportunity. And more I found out about Michelle, the more I learned about her, and then I found out that she was a musician. See, I didn't know that she was a musician. As well, so she has a certain understanding, like I do, with music when it comes to music and practicing and playing and stuff like that. So that really helped out a lot, really a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards our relationship, our relationship, and the thing about it, she was just a beautiful woman, and the thing about it, she's very. She comes from a Christian background. She prays, and that was the beautiful thing about it. She has a lot of things that we have in common. That common ground is the first seed. That's the first thing that you got to have is that common ground.
Right.
And I wanted someone just to reflect that reflection like my mother. I didn't want my mother, you know what I'm saying. But reflect that same quality, you know, when a man looks for a wife, like I say, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, you must look for quality and search for quality, you know?
And as a woman, a Christian woman, if you are a woman of quality, you become very attractive to quite a few different type of men. I've heard, like, throughout my life, oh, you make a good wife. Oh, you'd make me a good wife. But then the question is, will you make me a good husband? Because it's a two-way street. There's a lot of men that come into the church to get a church girl, but they're not church men quality.
Right.
So women fall into sometimes we fall into the trap of, oh, he really wants me. Oh, he really likes me. And we have to look at it realistically. And is this a man that will keep you draw closer to God, not just because he says you're pretty, not just because he'll call you, not because he'll take you out, but will he be able to connect with you in God? And that's what's important. Steve, I watched Steve. I was there when Steve received the Holy Ghost. I was there when he spoke in tongues. I was there when he was baptized. I watched him in ministry. As time went on, after we got married, and we have four children, but I've watched him. I've watched God use this man of God in ministry, and the revelation that he has is awesome. I mean, the revelation that God has given Steve is it's just awesome. And I thank God that I didn't know all of this when we were dating. I didn't know this side of him. It came afterwards. So there's a lot of things. Like he said, a diamond in the rough. I was a diamond in the rough. Steve was a diamond in the rough who really, I mean, is a very good quality diamond. So, yeah, that's how we met.
I thank God for Michelle, because I mean, she has been a great inspiration in my life, and as well as I loved her, my family loved her. My father passed away, and he loved her, and my mother passed away, and she loved her as well. And they said to me, "You have a quality woman," and I think that is beautiful. She's the only woman I took to meet my godmother,
yeah.
who was a pastor too, and she was the only woman I would take to meet her. So that was really important.
And that made me feel really special. When he told me that he doesn't take anyone to meet his godmother, and he took me, that said something to me. And I'm looking back now, and sometimes you don't understand how God will bring it all together, but the idea is to go with the flow of the Lord and see how he brings things out.
Right.
Because there was a while I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I mean, come on. It's not very often that a woman dates a brother and ends up marrying the other brother. That just doesn't happen every day. But when the situation presented itself, I had to take it to God. I said, God, you know, I'm not a loose woman. And it does not look right for me to be dating one brother, break up with this brother, and end up marrying another brother. But the interesting thing is that I didn't know that C's brother, Michael, had prayed to God and said, well, God, if she don't be with me, let her marry somebody in the family. He told me that years later. He said, well, Michelle, I prayed that if we did not get married, that you would marry somebody in the family. I said, oh, so you did this. You're the one that did this.
My brother Michael's not married, even until today. You know, and so I told Michelle, I said, I just fell in love with her, and I proposed to her in Central Park, I believe it was, right?
That was our first date.
Our first date. No, our first date was in Central Park, right? Our first date was in Central Park. Michelle has a memory like an elephant when it comes to this. Right. I proposed to her, and I bought a beautiful ring, and we just went on and had some beautiful kids together. And I tell you, God has blessed us. We have watched, you know, it's the funniest thing. We have watched miracles after miracles.
Yeah.
We have watched things that God has brought to pass in our life, and prophecy have been fulfilled. And we just got to give God the glory and God the praise, you know.
And the actual, it's been, we first met, I believe it was around 1980, I want to say 1985 or 84.
85.
Around 85. And we dated in 87, and we got married in 1988. So this has been a long-term relationship between Steve and I.
It was a Subway series. At the time, I didn't have a car. And in New York, everything is Subway or buses, you know? So it was a Subway series. And the funniest thing, I was saving up for a car at the time, and I was attending New York Tech. Michelle was attending Baruch College.
I was attending FIT
College. And I was saving up for a car, and I wind up putting that on the ring.
And I was very happy about that. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love to hear those stories of how couples got together and that I don't, you didn't tell me all of that, Michelle. You just told me about the part. Let me see. You said that you always felt kind of out of place at your church. You were a little different.
Oh yes.
From
yes, that's
what
you told me. Yes. And it's so funny because a little background on that is that I grew up in a church that was very strict. I mean, you felt out of place if you weren't wearing black and white. And
yeah.
And the drive in me and the passion in me was metallic gold, fuchsia, red, hot pink, all of those colors I was wearing. So it was almost like I was in a black and white film and the only one in color. And the funniest thing is that people would say to me, you belong in the Church of God in Christ, because I would wear the rhinestone hats and all like that. And they would tell me, you belong in the Church of God in Christ. And I'm like, what's the Church of God in Christ? I didn't even know what it was. And then when I met Steve and I started going around the Church of God in Christ, I was like, oh, that's what they meant, because I did not fit in where I was.
And
Steve grew up in the Church of God in Christ.
Yeah, I used to play for Timothy Wright and all those musicians that a lot of people talked about. And my brother, Butch Haywood, used to take Eric, my brother, out of his arms and teach him how to play organ. At a very young age, we started out playing. That's around about five years old. And so we just grew up in it. But one day I decided to take a walk during Sunday school. I said, let me walk around and visit another church before our service starts, because I knew I had to play. And I walked into this church, and I seen everybody sitting in black and white. And behold, that was
my father's church.
I said, no, this is not the church for me. And I left out of there.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's just a little bit of our story.
It was very exciting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's the story. I came up also in my parents were pastors, but have a long family church background. But I came up in the apostolic faith, and we were like, you know, black and white, and you know, we're colored, but not red.
That's Jezebel. You
were
Jezebel if you wore red.
Yes, yes, yes. We wore red. So I mean, we didn't wear red, but the high top collars and. I remember one time though, because I was always fashion conscious, not still conservative, but fashion conscious. But one time after I had gotten saved, I was grown then. And I was wearing the Victorian collars, and I told you this, Michelle, and the sleeve, you know, the sleeve, not showing my elbows or anything. Skirts,
yes,
not
I know.
To the floor, but, you know, skirts well below my knee. And one of the sisters that I worked with, she was in an apostolic church also, but she gave me a pamphlet on modest dressing Christian women. I was so outdone. I was like, what? I guess I was too, you know, I was too flashy for her, but, you know, I always looked like an usher because I did. I wore a lot of black and white, and then I was an usher, so, you know, all we could wear was black and white to usher and stuff. That's funny. That is funny. But
yeah.
Okay. So you guys got together, and when did you get married?
1988 in New York.
Yes, in my father's church.
At Steve's father's church.
At midnight. We got married at midnight.
Yeah.
We looked at each other and we said, "Hey," I looked at Michelle. I said, "Do you love me?" And Michelle said, "Yes, I love you." And I said, and she said, ask me, do I love her? And I said, yes, Michelle, I do love you. I said, I tell you what, now let's see if our families love us enough and agree in our relationship. And at midnight, we wind up waking up our families, you know.
Yeah, it was about 10 that night.
Yeah.
We told them that we were going to get married.
At midnight. Yes.
At midnight, and our families came, and it was a very small ceremony. There was no flashing, none of that, and we just we got married.
Yeah, we drove to, we all met in Queens at my father's church at Good Shepherd, and all the families was there. It was beautiful. It was just a personal.
It was very intimate.
Intimate family wedding at midnight. It's wild that that it was set up at midnight, right?
Yeah.
And like every couple who starts out, we started out not with with everything, you know, with the places and the nice car, and we just had to work it. And God has blessed us together, and where we can finally have a reception, right?
Yeah, we had a reception about 2 months later.
Yeah, 2 months later.
A big reception with, you know, all the catering and all the cars and all the dresses and stuff. And it was a beautiful event.
And we paid for it, right? Me and you, we paid for it.
Yeah.
But we just thank God for how it turned it out.
And that was in
1988. That's a long time, yeah.
It is a long time. That is an awesome testimony. And then let me just say, audience, that Michelle is a very beautiful woman. And I know when Steve saw her, he was looking at that beauty. He wasn't looking at that spiritualness. You know, men say that. My husband has.
Wait a minute.
Because Michelle is, she's a beautiful woman, so I know that wasn't the scene that caught your eye first. Amen.
Well, that's the only thing I was looking at the time. You're right.
And let me just interject too, because when I first met Steve, I did not know that he was a bodybuilder either. And when we went out on our first date, Steve all of a sudden got, like, super hot and had to take his jacket off.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things. I was young. I was an athlete.
And that's when I saw all these muscles bursting out. So I was being really calm and cool. I didn't say, oh, look at all those muscles. I didn't say none of that. I didn't say anything. I just kept eating.
Uh-huh. It's a funny thing, I took out a lot of young girls, you know, at the time, before Michelle, and the thing about it, I said that they all ate like birds are. It was always, I said, I got to find me one that can really sit down and enjoy it. And Michelle was the one. She sat down and ate like, I'm hungry.
We went to a Chinese restaurant. I was a single woman. I had my own place, and I had nothing in the refrigerator. She took me out to eat. I said, you got to excuse me because I'm hungry.
And I like that about her. She was down there. Yeah.
Also, Steve is very handsome, too. He's very handsome, too. So, you know, I know that we physically, we are attracted to one another, you know, even before God comes into play. But that was my prayer when I met my husband, is that, Lord, bring someone to me that loves you first.
Yeah.
And I know if they love you, then they're going to know how to love me. And yes, God did that. He did that thing for me. Okay, and so you guys got married, and you have four beautiful children, two girls and two boys.
Yes. Yes, God blessed us with girls and two boys. Yeah.
Okay, so now, I know their names, but tell the audience their names, and they have some very awesome children. Their one daughter was going to high school and college at the same time, and an awesome young lady. All of your children, Xavier, and you tell their names.
Okay, our oldest child is Victoria. She's an artist. She's a singer. She's a poet. She's graduating with a bachelor in graphic design. She finished school, but the graduation will be in December. He's also working right now at World Overcomers in an internship. He also will be graduating with a bachelor's degree in web design and motion graphics. We have a daughter, which is the one you were talking about, Christina. She's also an artist. She went to early college high school at North Carolina Central. She's always been an A student. All of them have done really well in school.
Yeah.
And Christina's also a choreographer. She's a liturgical dancer. She's also sing. All my kids sing. And Isaiah, we call him the Afro guy because he's keeping the Afro alive.
Just did the commercial.
He did a commercial on Fox 50 for suicide prevention in teens. If you see it on Fox 50, you'll see Isaiah with the Afro, and he's early college. The Performance Learning Center. He'll be graduating from high school, hopefully in January.
Yeah.
He's also an artist, and he's very good as far as gaming. He's actually in the process of making his own game system. I thank God. God has blessed us with some very gifted and talented kids, and they all love the Lord. They're all in the church, and they love the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. That is so special. We can't always say that all of our kids are in the church, and they are gifted, and they sing. I've heard Christina sing. I've never heard Victoria, I've never heard her sing, but she was always kind of quiet. And your two boys, handsome and pretty young ladies. So God has blessed your union. And now tell us about now we can get to the crust of your testimony. Came into a time where you and Steve separated.
Yes. It was about 3 years ago. Being in a marriage for a long period of time, it does try the both of us. I mean, the both of you. And even though a union may be written in heaven, it's going to be tried in hell. And the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy what God has ordained.
Because he set out for families.
Yeah. It is his desire that a husband and wife that love the Lord do not make it together. And he'll deal with, I can speak for myself, I'm sure Steve can agree, it can get to the point where there is starting to be misunderstandings more often, and you start getting hurt, and it may not even be intentional. You know, it's just that things happen that because you're individuals and you come with into the relationship with hurts from things that may have happened in your past, and what seems little before you get married can maximize in a marriage. And I came into the relationship, I have been hurt a lot, even from my family, not just even as far as relationships, but from the way I grew up in my family. I have been hurt a lot. And there were things in the marriage that I look back now and I misunderstood, but at the time I was very hurt. And at the point, it came to the point where I felt like I didn't want to be hurt anymore. And I didn't feel like we could go on. So the reason why I'm speaking, because I was the one that actually said that I didn't want to be in a marriage anymore. And Steve did not, he was not in agreement with it. He did not say that he wanted to get divorced. He did not say, he constantly said he did not want a divorce. He loved me. He kept telling me he loved me. He loved me. He don't want the divorce. He don't want the divorce. But I was so hurt, and I was so, I was at a point where I didn't want to hear that. And I we have to be honest. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to believe that because of the hurt that I was feeling. And I actually filed for divorce, and it devastated. It devastated Steve because he did love me. I didn't understand everything about Steve. I didn't understand that men think differently than women. Men react differently than women. I was looking at it from a woman's point of view because I am a woman. And I'm not saying Steve was perfect, but neither was I. And it came to the point where I saw no other option but to divorce. And so in 2011, I filed for divorce.
It devastated me because the fact that I grew up in a family structure. I watched my grandfather's grandfather, you know, stay married to his wife, and so something like this was like, wow, wait, this is like a taboo among my family because watched my father from after being married for 47, 48 years, and then to come into this, it was just devastating. And my sisters and brothers, you know, I just went through a lot. At that time, I was going through emotional, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain at that time. And so I took refuge up in New York, at my sister's house and stayed with her for a while and then just so that they can pray and get me through it. But through it all, I still love Michelle. I still love the family, and I love that family structure.
Yeah.
So once, you know, if you're a really deep down family man, you just something about the surroundings of your kid. I remember when I used to go out to work and get up early in the morning, and I used to look at all those faces sleeping calmly and quietly, and that was my motivation to go to work. I said, oh, time to go to work because they all resting peaceful. And it just gave me that pride of being a father, you know? And so this, after a while, this was devastating to you. So, but yet we stayed in contact.
Yeah. We did. Actually,
yes, I know, because I was in Michelle and I met one time, and we were going to, you took me over to, I don't know what originally we were meeting for, but you took me over to the secondhand store off of 15501.
Right.
And when I met you two times. I met you at the McDonald's one time, and then I met you another time. And you were talking to Steve, and you guys were just, you know, laughing and talking. I was just like, that is awesome, Lord. You know, if something is not right about, you know, them not being together, because you guys were still so friendly toward one another, which is when a couple breaks up, usually there is a lot of conflict. But a couple of times I met you and you let me talk to Steve on the phone. I was like, this is not right.
She's still my best friend now.
Yeah, we were still best friends. The situation is, above what was going on in our marriage, I extremely loved the Lord. I mean, I loved him with my whole heart. And I was praying, I was fasting, and I was desperately seeking God for direction. You know, I couldn't hate Steve because then I would end up in hell. I had to love him. I had to, and he had to love me. And you can't get past, I can't mistreat Steve and please God. I can't do it.
Right.
I don't care how hurt I was. I don't care of what happened in our marriage. I had to talk with, Steve in with respect. Yeah, we did bump heads when we separated because we had two different views that were not agreeing at all. We had two different things that were going on. Steve had his issues about me. I had my issues about Steve, and we were bumping heads. But when the conversations were over, the next time we talked, we started from scratch again on level ground. Steve, look, I still loved him. I didn't want to love him because then it would have made it easier. And when you're hurt, you want what's easy. You don't want what's correct. That's a whole different story. And but I love the Lord. And when the Lord spoke to me and told me to say something to Steve, whether I wanted to say it or not, I had to say it. When God told me to treat him a certain way, whether I wanted to do it or not, I had to do it because I'm not God and I have to please God. So even though we were separated, and yes, I did divorce Steve, I had to do what God was telling me to do towards Steve, because God told me one time, he said, Michelle, you're not the only one that's special to me. Steve is special to me too. And that kind of brought me back into the reality. Sometimes when we're hurting, we think that we got a monopoly on God, but we don't. God hears Steve's prayers as well. And God had to bring me back into the reality that just as much as I'm thinking I'm special to God, my husband is special to God. And he is holding me accountable of how I treat this man, just like he is holding this man accountable of how he treats me. And I'm not responsible for how Steve treats me, but I am responsible for how I treat him. And if I want to obey God.
Say that again. I tell my sons that all the time, or anybody that's in conflict, it's not what they do to you. God is looking at you. They're on the other side. God is looking at them too, but you can't worry about that. You have to take care of you and do what you know is right.
Exactly.
That's what God
kept drilling in me. First of all, God had to get my heart right, because when I divorced Steve, and there's a lot of, and I think it's important that I go here right now, because there's a lot of women that are right where I was. They're right there right now, and they feel justified to divorce their husband.
Yeah.
But when I divorced Steve, I'm thinking that was a chance for God to get Steve right. But in reality, that was a chance for God to get me right. And God took me to a school of just being ministered to, not by what's popular. It is popular to divorce your husband and get another one.
Yeah.
That is popular. But when God took me into this secret place, God started ministering to me that, Michelle, I can't let you do what is popular. You've got to do what is righteous.
Yes.
And it's in the church. It is heavily in the church that people are divorcing. And they are moving on without the instruction of the Lord, because they want to do what's going to make them feel better. But God is not a God of feeling. He's a God of righteousness.
Yes.
And And the main thing that the Lord kept telling me is the scripture where it says, if you divorce, you are to be reconciled to your spouse or remain unmarried.
Yes.
And he kept telling me that. He said, if you divorce, you are to be reconciled to your spouse or remain unmarried. And after being with a man for 25 years, or 23 years at the time, about 25 years at the time, I don't want to be by myself. I need to, and then the Lord would let me know, well, then what you need to do, you need to fix this, because I'm responsible for how I treat Steve. And Steve was still telling me he loved me. Was he perfect? No, he was far from perfect, but then so was I. So then I started friends, not from people in the church, not from, I needed to hear from God for myself.
Yeah, because outside forces, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times you hear a lot of outside forces, and a lot of outside forces is not wavering in your favor, you know? And we was, and at that time, I didn't want to hear nobody from church or nothing like this because I was devastated. I was like, wow, wait, this is, I can't believe this is happening to me. And there was some bad communication that got around, and someone's trying to hurt. But I understand that the devil's always trying to destroy families.
Yeah.
And trying to tear it down. And that's
yeah.
where you have to rely on your spouse and bond even closer and tighter and try to fight off these forces. And at the time, it was just someone beating me over the head who didn't even really know me, you know, as far as the outside force. And it was devastating, you know, because one of the pastors came back and told me. And you know the funny thing about it, you look for to be hurt outside of the church, but you can be hurt inside of the church too as well. And this is something where someone just decided to pick apart and attack our marriage at the time and the integrity of me. And so that kind of hit it off where we separated, but yet we still loved each other.
But the one thing I did not separate from Steve because of what people said. I separated because of the issues that were the problems in our marriage. And there's a thing called unreconcilable differences, and I felt that we were at the point where what Steve was looking for me, I did not no longer want to be that. And what I needed from Steve, it was like I was talking to a wall. So it was at that point where I didn't see any other option. And we were dealing in marriage, working at marriage for so long, and I was emotionally exhausted. And I know that there are other wives that are at that point where they are emotionally exhausted. They don't know, they don't want to go on any further. They want it over. They want it done. But but the most important thing to do is to not make final decisions through hurt. You don't want to make final decisions through hurt because hurt will subside. And then you've got to live with your decision.
Right.
And the most important thing that God showed me was that there are things that we go through. And, yes, we're married. But then there are things from our past that will creep into the marriage. And God has a way of showing you yourself. And by us being separated and by us being divorced, God showed me myself that I had forgot about myself for years. And God brought things back to my mind and would tell me, because in my lifetime, there were people that I have hurt, and I forgot about it. And God used this time, divorce and all this kind of thing, and reminded me, Michelle, what you're feeling right now, this is how you made somebody else feel 30 years ago. And it blew my mind. And then God started showing me how men think, what men need, what a husband needs from his wife. Now, as far as being a good wife, Steve can tell you, I'm a very good wife, but I wasn't perfect. There's things I did not understand about a man and the way they react. We went through some devastating situations just being together, and it wasn't because of him and I. I mean, there were times when we were a homeless family, and being homeless brings stress into the marriage. There were times when Steve lost his job, and we had to struggle. That brings stress into marriage. There are so many things were piled up on it, and if you don't follow the leading of the Lord, you will not make it. You will not make it as a Christian couple because the enemy wants to destroy you. Because if he can turn you against each other, you're not fighting against him.
Yes.
So after we divorced, and we kept talking back and forth, but Steve kept asking me, could we start dating again? I kept turning him down. And when you were at Gwen's house, you kept asking me, would I consider getting back with him? I kept telling him. One thing I did tell him, I said, if God tells me to take you back, I will. And I wasn't hearing that from God at the time. And Steve moved on.
I moved on.
He started dating somebody. And I was all right with that because at that point, God hadn't ministered to me yet. So I was all right that he moved on. Matter of fact, I was going to move on. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I was going to move on. And last year, in 2012, because I wanted to honor God, and, I mean, it's not like I couldn't get somebody else because they were coming. They were asking for my number. They wanted to take me out. But I said to God, I said, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. I want to be in God's perfect will. So what I did was I kept seeking God. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, Steve has moved on. I've been by myself since 2010 to 2012. I ain't dated nobody. I ain't been with nobody. And Steve has a girlfriend now. I want to know where my man is. Where's the man you got for me? And nobody came. And I kept seeking God, and I kept seeking God, and I kept seeking God. And the Lord took me into the scripture that I said earlier. And God said to me, Michelle, the scripture says, if you divorce, you are to be reconciled to your spouse or remain unmarried. And that was hard for me because I'm like, but he's already with somebody. God said to me, you are to reconcile with your spouse or remain unmarried. So what I did, because me and Steve were still friends, we still talk all the time. And as the Lord would lead me to minister to him in a situation, I started. I
talk by like sending homes of money. So, understand. Yeah, making sure the kids was right and things like that.
Yeah, but we were talking too. We would talk about the things that, like, for example, the support and stuff like that, general stuff, right? Okay, but then the Lord would lead me to minister to Steve.
Yeah, general.
Because I started telling him what the Lord was ministering to me about if he's with somebody else as long as I'm alive, that's adultery. And we have to, and I was telling him that I can't move on because I know that if I was to go with somebody else at that point, I would be out of the will of God. So I started praying and seeking God. And then the Lord was telling me that he was turning Steve's heart towards me. But I didn't tell Steve that. I just kept praying and encouraging him and staying friends with him. And it got to the point where Steve realized that he wanted to be back with his family. You want to take it from here?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, I realized at the time I was dating someone. And the thing about it, I was playing with two different bands, a rock band, a regular pop band, and a jazz band. And doing it, we was hitting big venues and big shows and stuff like that up there in New York. And at the time, and a church band at the same time, wow. And at the time, I realized I'd start getting homesick for family, you know, just family activities, family things, just the hug talk to my boys and give them guidance and counseling, because the funny thing, at the church that I was attending, there was a lot of unwed mothers. And a lot of times the unwed mothers will send the pastor wanted the men to be mentors towards some of the men, some of the young men that was growing up in the church. And I, being a mentor to my sister's kids and stuff like that, and I was longing for my sons to come around me and my daughters to come around me, you know? And that's where it really was weighing heavy in my heart. And plus, I still love Michelle, you know, because she was a great mother. So I said to myself, I said, I got to get back. I got to see if I can reconciliate our marriage in some kind of way. So that's where I guess God was turning my heart back towards family morals and family, you know, ethics of things that concerning my family.
So this just happened like recently. I asked Steve if he would come down. For Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I asked Steve if he would come in December for Christmas, and he agreed. And Steve came down in North Carolina for Christmas, and he spent time. We spent time for 6 days. He stayed down here, and it was a wonderful experience. And the interesting thing is that when Steve came down, when I asked him to come, I had no feelings for him. I was just asking him to come because we had went up there for his birthday to visit him. And he told me that he was going to come down to spend time with the kids for Christmas. So, but when he came down, something happened to me. I don't know. And all of a sudden, something happened to me. It was like all of these emotions and all of this desire for him flooded me, and I was confused, because I'm like, what is this? Remember I asked you, but I had been praying in 2012 for God to show me who he had for me as far as for my husband, and I said, God, I wanted to see him by the end of the year, and when he came down, he was the only man I saw in 2012, which really kind of confused me, because I was saying, God, are you telling me that this is my husband? This is the man you want me to be with? And after that, and I was done. I was so confused, and I had to get more detail from the Lord. And this is when the Lord took me into the scripture and was telling me that it's time for me to be reconciled to my husband, right? Okay, so time went on, and I'm just battling with the Lord, just battling. Because I wanted to make sure this is what God was telling me.
Right.
And for Mother's Day, I said to Steve, because we had a nice talking relationship. It was really nice. And I said, well, for Mother's Day, I don't want shoes. I don't want flowers. I don't want none of that. I want you to come spend Mother's Day with me. And Steve came down. And that blew me away that he would actually come. And he came, and he spent Mother's Day with me. And at that point, I saw that there was a shift. And shortly after Mother's Day, Steve told me that he was going to come home.
Mm.
And that everything was finished. Everything was done, and he was going to come back to his family, and that's where we are right now.
Wow, that is such an awesome testimony. It's a lot of times we get, like you said, I have a strong feeling about that, about us being reconciled, and I know that I have some friends that have been divorced and so hurt by the divorce and, you know, the situations that have happened in the marriage. And but I don't think that they consider reconciling with their husbands or with their wives. You know, I don't think that they do so. It has to be a strong connection with God for you to even come, you know, to that place. And I know that God deals with us. God deals with us. I don't care what people say. I don't care where you are in your relationship with God. You can be, you know, very spiritual with God, or you can be at a place where you're just, like the Bible says, you're neither hot nor cold.
Yes.
But God still will deal with us if we allow ourselves to hear or to feel the tugging of our heart. I know that evangelist Juanita Bynum, or Dr. Juanita Bynum, did this series on the umpire, in which she was talking about how the umpire, I guess it's the umpire, who blows the whistle, Steve? Who blows
in the umpire.
And so she was saying that, you know, that when we're walking close to God and God is talking to us, she related it to this whistle. She said, when the whistle blows and we hear the whistle, you know, and we respond to the whistle. But as life goes on, you know, the whistle may be, you know, less intense in our lives. And so we don't pay attention to it. We don't pay attention to it. But God is always there dealing with us if we listen to what he's saying to us. I'm just blown away because you're right, Michelle, in the church, statistics show that the rate of divorce is higher in the church than it is in the world.
That
to me is devastating, and I get so, I don't know, I'm kind of an emotional, passionate person myself, and it just really gets to me when a marriage is dissolved, especially.
It gets to me even to hear about someone else's marriage from the church being dissolved, you know? And, you know, you want to see that couple stay together, or you want to see it because, you know, it's so important. Marriage, I take marriage as an institution of a strong institution, and I take it serious, you know? And the thing about it, we see a lot of young couples on TV and stuff like that, and they get married, and it's all the comedy for the glitz and glitter. But I know when we got married, or when some of our parents or some of our cousins and family got married, it was more of a big change. It was more serious. We take it more serious, you know. It's a more serious thing. And now that you can see the devil's really trying to attack marriages all over. I mean, I never heard of so many divorces. It's devastating. It's so devastating.
And I think as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that a lot of times when we're going through situations in our marriage, we move according to feeling, but we forget that there is a covenant, and God holds us to our covenant.
Yeah.
God didn't say that we are to be married until we don't love each other anymore. He said, you are married, and the wife is bound to her husband for as long as he lives.
Yeah.
And the husband is bound to his wife for as long as he lives.
That's why I tell friends, do not mess with other people's marriage, because it says in the scriptures that God, who have God joined together, let no man put asunder. So they don't know. If you tamper with someone else's marriage, you can actually be cursing yourself, you know? And it's so important to, if you're not going to give them the right counseling or something,
just leave that marriage alone and put it in the hands of God and pray for them and hope that they would get some kind of direction and stuff like that, but not to
opinionate
and hold it and try to separate it.
Because when it comes down to it, the only thing God is going to judge us for is the Word of God. And if anyone is wondering what to do about marriage, divorce, or whatever, it's in the Word of God. It's written in the Word of God. What, as a wife, what we're supposed to do as far as our relationship with our spouse, we are to be with our spouse only. That's what it says. We're supposed to be to him only. The husband is supposed to be to his wife only. As far as replacing him, the Bible doesn't say for us to replace our spouse. He said even if you divorce, you're supposed to be reconciled or remain unmarried because we have a covenant till death. But, again, that's not popular. It's popular to replace your spouse if you get divorced.
And I don't know
everybody's situation, but God knows the situation when he wrote that in the Word of God. He knew what people would go through. He knew, but he did not say that if you go through this, then you're no longer to be married. I mean, there are times when you have to separate. That's not what I'm saying. There are times when maybe a couple may need to separate, but you have to obey what the Lord is saying, not what's popular, so that while you're separated, you could be in prayer to get direction from the Lord. It's not separation to start dating. It's not separating to teach them a lesson or nothing like that. If you're separating, then you should be trying to hear what the Lord is saying because that's the only way you'll get proper direction so that God can bring you back together so that you can be reconciled with each other.
Yeah. I mean. Yes, it's so important that we, hey, it's my grandbaby. So important that we do the things that God wants us to do. You don't hear a lot about reconciliation. You don't hear a lot about forgiveness because you have to forgive. You have to. You know, we get hurt, and then we think that we can, because I'm hurt, I can just next. It really just gets to me. And I was so happy when I saw on Facebook, and I just like Facebook. I'm always talking about it. You know, because it just. It gives you a chance to connect with people. It gives you a chance to, I mean, that it's a lot of junk on Facebook and it's a lot of stuff on there that you don't really want to be bothered with. But when I saw that you have posted that you guys are in relationship, oh, my God, did my heart just leap with joy, you know.
Yes.
Another victory for the Lord, another victory, because it is victorious when we can overcome the different things that happen in our lives and we don't,
right.
You know, and we still try to be pleasing to God.
We
must always consider, and we've gotten out of that. But the Bible talks about that. It talks about how we will be pleasers of ourselves more than pleasers of God.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And that's happening a lot in hurting marriages. Because I was listening to T.D. Jakes one time, and he was saying that when you think about it, when a couple is separating or they get to the point of divorce, it becomes to the point where it's a selfish decision, where they want to do it because they want to feel better about it, but not because of the covenant. And like you said, we want to please ourselves. We want to feel better. And if the person that we're with is not going to make us feel better, then we got to get rid of them. And that is not God. Like you said about forgiveness, the Bible says to forgive your brother 70 times 7 in one day. So your spouse is no longer your brother or your sister? So you can't forgive them, but you can forgive other people, but you can't forgive them.
Right.
That's not what God is. That's not what God is saying. If you can forgive people that you're not living with, then it takes God. I'm not saying it doesn't take God, because it took God for me. But we have to let God do it. If we're going to live for God, if we're going to represent God, then we can't do it our way. We've got to do it God's way. And there's a part of scripture where it says this is a hard saying.
Yeah.
Because some things that God demands from us are not easy. It's not going to go according to our plan. It's not going to be what we like. It's going to be what God wants. When Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac, do you think he wanted to take Isaac up there to get ready to cut his head off? No. But he had to obey God. Because God only knows the future. God knows what will come out of me and Steve's union. Only God knows where we will be in the future. And the bottom line is we've got to defeat the enemy of our soul, and that is Satan. And if Satan can slip in adultery into the church, where everybody thinks it's okay to be married and not your spouse, and adultery keeps slipping in and adultery keeps slipping in, then the effectiveness of the church is no longer.
And, of course, we know that that's the plot of the enemy. That's the plot
right.
of the enemy to make God's church ineffective in the world. Like you were talking about covenant, we don't look at it. It's not such a big thing here now. You know, covenant. It's not such a big thing now. But when I guess from being at Life Community Church, which is Life International now, that's the one thing that our pastor talked about was covenant and how important covenant is in Africa. And it started me to think, and really to study what covenant really meant. You know, because we take it so lightly. We stand up there and we do our vows, and they're just vows.
Yeah.
It's just words, rather. It's just words that we're speaking out of our mouths.
Words.
That's how people look at it. But it's binding. Covenants are done different ways, but it's a binding contract that does not end until the people in the covenant are dead. That's the only time that covenant is broken. That's the only time that covenant.
And the interesting thing is that a lot of people, and I know when I say this, a lot of people are not going to like this, but it is scripture, and it says that in Matthew's where it says that you're supposed to stay married. It says, except it be for fornication. Now, there's a lot of new interpretation of that phrase. But the original interpretation of that phrase was that except it be for fornication had to do with if you're marrying somebody and they say that they are a virgin, and when you get married, you find out that they have had sex with somebody else, then you can get it annulled, or you can get a divorce, because the fornication took place when they were single. But a lot of times, the new translations and everything are saying it means adultery and stuff like that, but that's not what that means. It means that when you marry somebody, you thought they were a virgin, and when you got to the marriage bed, you found out that they were not a virgin. That gives you ground for a divorce. The Bible doesn't say that you can divorce if there's adultery. There's supposed to be forgiveness, because we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. And I know a lot of people probably didn't like what I just said, but we have to go according to what the scripture really means.
Well,
I see that this when God unites you or when you get married, it's not only like they say, like who God joined together, let no man put asunder. It's not only God bringing you as together as a one, but a being, a spiritual entwined. And so God sees you as one, as a spiritual entwined, you know, as one light. And for you to separate, you're still connected to that same, that first light, that first connection. And a lot of times we separate or divorce, a lot of times we separate, but yet our connection is still to that same light that God seen us first as. You know?
Yeah.
And do you agree? And a lot of times, because that's why we look back at the past of certain things that we've done, or activities that we've done together that made us happy, or certain things that illuminated in our lives. But yet we are still attached to that first light. And now when you come into another relationship, you're bringing on all those other relationships within that light. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You're connecting other things to that light, and it's not meant to be. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that the Bible says if you divorce, because there are people who divorce, you are to be reconciled or remain unmarried. And if you cannot reconcile, then it's in God's hands at that point to do whatever he's going to do with the situation.
It's an awesome thing to be able to put, because I think that it has a lot to do also with pride.
Yeah.
With pride, you know, that you can allow a situation to happen that would, someone that you love so much, you know, someone that you love so much, and then you separate from them, and then you love so much someone, you know, someone else. I find that hard to do. You know, I find that hard to do. I don't. How do you stop loving? How do you stop, you know, caring about them? You can be angry with them. You can be angry with them, but how do you stop loving someone that you love so much? I don't know. I was just so happy to hear that you guys had gotten back together, and just so thankful that you decided to come on the broadcast today. And I'm not ending it right now. I'm just saying that, you know, I just thank God that you guys came on to share, you know, your reconciliation with us, how God can do the impossible. Because I'm sure that once you, Michelle, divorced Steve, that was over as far as you were concerned, as far as Michelle was concerned.
Right.
The natural Michelle, not the spiritual Michelle.
And right.
And we don't separate. We think that there, we have a natural life that we try to subdue it. You know, we say that we die with Christ, but I don't think that would be perfection. And we never get in a state where we're perfected. So that old man is there. He may be dormant for a long time, but he would try to stick his head up as often as he can, you know, to come in and wreak havoc in our lives and wreak havoc. Because a divorce does not only affect the two people that are divorcing, but like you were saying, Steve, my family, this has never been something that's been in my family before. It opens the door.
Yes.
It opens the door. You know, it affects our children. I don't care if our children are grown. You know, it's
that's
still
right.
affectionate. I hear people saying, you know, talking about, well, my parents, you know, divorced, and it's, and some people are not even able to handle it. You know, not able to handle, you know, the fact that the people that brought them into the world are no longer together. And again, they may be angry with one or the other, but still, you know, that's still a part of them. They're still a part of divorce. It hurts a lot of people. It hurts the people that are around us, you know, because people are looking at us, and they're looking at, the Bible says that we are written epistles read of men.
Yes.
Men reading our lives and saying, you know, well, what kind of God is this? What can, you know, that will bring people together, and now they're not together, and now they've been married two or three times, and they're all in the same church, and it's just.
And I think when you were talking earlier, the scripture came to mind where the flesh wars against the spirit. And even in an individual, our flesh is warring against the spirit of God that's within us. And, I mean, the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings are warring against what God is requiring of us. And that's a daily battle. And if we don't win the battle within ourselves, then our generations are lost. And when God places us on the earth, he doesn't place us on the earth to be an example only to each other, but our generations need to know what to do about marriage. Our generations need to know what the truth is about marriage and divorce.
Yes. And we have fallen into, a time where it's, you know, okay in the church. It's okay for you to be divorced. Now, there are some situations that, you know, you shouldn't be together. There are some situations that, you know, then in raising my sons, because I have all boys, in raising my sons, I always told them, you know, well, Mom, well, what about if, you know, once you get into marriage and you find out that they're not the person, then you made the mistake and you make the best of it, because we do not believe in divorce.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Once you get married, you're married. So you need to seek. I know when my husband first started visiting me, because he lived in Kansas City, and I lived, of course, in Chicago. And so when he started visiting me, I think either the first or the second time, probably the second time that he came, I took him to my pastor. You know, that's something that people don't do. They wait until the feelings get all involved, and then, you know, then they can't hear. If somebody says, no, don't do this.
Yeah.
They've allowed the feelings to interfere with hearing the man or woman of God that God has placed in your life to give you guidance.
Yes.
You know, to give you guidance. And, you know, so you have to take into consideration, at least I did. The marriage is a serious thing to me. And I said, I'm not going to hell for nobody. If I'm going to hell,
I'm
going to send myself to hell. I'm not, nobody else is going, I'm not, you know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into a situation that is, you know, going to cause me to go to hell. And I think that we've gotten so far away from that. Even the scriptures that try to give us guidance. Those are the scriptures that we've kind of gotten away from. You know, we want to look at the, you know, we want to look at the give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, taken together, right?
You know? That's right.
We want to look at that. We want to look at God's grace, and God is gracious, you know, but there's a scripture, and this scripture always came to my mind, that when the king was going to throw Daniel in the lion's den, the people, the ones that were plotting against Daniel, reminded the king, you said this, you signed this, you sealed this, and it cannot be changed. It cannot. I don't care how much you love Daniel. I don't care how much you don't want to put Daniel in that lion's den, because you said it. Because you decreed it. It has to. So I don't care how much God loves us. I don't care how much he does not want this thing to cause us to go to hell.
Yes.
Hell is real. And the Bible says that it has enlarged itself, because the world, we're fooled. We're fooled. We're so fooled now. We are the
That's
enemy.
Right.
The enemy, you know, has that. He's working constantly. He's not like us. He's not like us. He don't have a victory and then celebrate. I celebrate later, right? I'm working systematically.
That's right.
Systematically, I'm breaking stuff down in the church. He's not worried about what's happening out in the world. We are targets. Once we come into the light, when we come into that light is shining. And even if people can't see it, the enemy of your soul does. And he's after that. He's after that to make God look bad, you know, to make God, it seem like, you know, it can't, God is not almighty. He is almighty. He is almighty.
That's right.
And, you know, excuse me, I always get on my soapbox, but I'm just, I just am so thankful that you guys came on. And, again, I'm not ending it, but I just want to let you know that I so admire the God in you, Michelle and Steve. I so admire the God in you to be able to say, okay, we did this thing, you know, but now we want to make it right.
Yes, and I give God all the glory. What I wanted to, when you were talking about what you told your son, the Lord brought back to my mind that I was engaged to two different guys before I even got married to Steve. And each time I consulted the Lord whether he wanted me to marry them, and the Lord told me no. And one of the guys were even a pastor, and my father was in love with him, and he thought that was the best thing since fried chicken. But the Lord told me no. And there may be even some people that are at the point of engagement. My wedding was set. I had the bridesmaids' dresses. We had the date set, and I was getting ready to marry him, and God told me no. And I had to go back to them and said, God, I can't marry you. So sometime, you may have to pay back the money. You may have to give back the ring. But if God says that's not the one to marry, don't do it. Because
Absolutely.
God sees the future.
Absolutely, 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 absolutely. And I know that, I'm glad that you brought that up. A lot of times I've heard people say that I knew that I shouldn't have married that person. And so then they say that that's an out for them, but it's still not an out because you still make the covenant. But I've heard people say, I knew that I wasn't supposed to marry this person, but I married them anyway. And
right.
it
because
has
they
been
feel different. Obligated.
Yes. 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 Because they feel like the money, well, the money has been spent, the dresses are all, the men have their tux. I don't care if it's the last second. I know that one of the young women that got
married in my church back home in Chicago, and as her dad was walking her down the aisle, he was asking her, "Are you sure?" And that is, to me, that is God using outside forces to for you to hear him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
When everybody is against what you're doing, then you step back and look at it. Step back and look at it. But then you said something earlier, Steve and Michelle, you were talking about outside forces and people giving you advice and trying to persuade you what they thought, not what God thought, but what they thought was the best thing for you to do. I know that there have been a lot of marriages in the church that took place because someone said, this is your husband.
That's right.
This is your wife.
Yeah.
But you know that what? This is my husband? I'm not feeling that. I'm not hearing that. I know there was a guy before I married my husband. There was a guy that I was not really seriously dating, but dating, and he wanted to marry me. But I knew that he wasn't the one for me. And I, even though I was dating him, you know, and talked with him about marriage, I knew that he was not the one. And then my aunt came up. I was moving. I had bought a home, and my aunt came up, and he was there with us as we were moving in and everything. And after, you know, the day ended and we were all, you know, he was gone, and she said to me, no, he's not the one.
Wow.
I listened, you know, even though I knew it was just confirmation to me, you know, it was confirmation.
Yeah.
The Bible says that there is safety in the multitude of counselors.
Yes, and he will make the way out.
Somebody, if you trust, this is the same aunt that when I got saved, and this is a funny story. How I got saved, I always say God tricked me. Excuse me, but how I got saved, I was walking down the street one day, and it was these little kids walking in front of me, and this little boy was just cussing. I mean, he was just cussing his head off. And I said to him, I said, "What would God say if hearing you say this?" And I wasn't saved, so, you know, I don't know how I put it. But he looked at me and he said, "God." He said, "Who? What for God?" I knew then I had my son, and I said, because I had been raised in the church. I said, I don't want my son to ever be able to say that. So I started going to church, taking him to church. That's why I said,
yeah.
So,
yeah, you were set up.
Yes, I was set up. And so my aunt came to the, and so I got saved, you know, and my aunt came to visit, excuse me, and she went to church with me, and she said, "Billy," she said, "no." She said, "You, this is not the church for you." Yes, I'm happy that you're saved. It's an apostolic church. She said, "But this is not the church for you." She said, "You're not going to stay saved in this church." She wanted me to go to a family church, and the pastor, who, you know, I grew up around her. She said, "No, Billy needs to be at Morgan Park." And she said, because there are a lot of young people there, and, you know, that is going to be a better fit for her at Morgan Park. You know, but it was because I was listening, because I could have said, I don't need you to tell me what God is saying, you know. But I listened to what was being advised to me. And a lot of times we don't listen. To get to my point, is a lot of times the people that God has placed in our lives to counsel us, but know that not only does God place someone in your life to counsel you, but the enemy places people in your life to get to work God's plan for you. And that's
basically what, you know, he comes to do, to interfere with what God's plan is for you. So you have to be careful who you listen to, A. You have to know, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Know their lives. Know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, don't just take counseling from anybody.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. You got that right.
One thing Steve had said to me when we were looking for a counselor, he was saying to me that he didn't want anybody to counsel him that was divorced and married somebody else. He wanted somebody that believed in the sanctity of remaining married to your spouse.
Yes.
Because sometimes the advice will be from what they've experienced.
Exactly. 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 We have to be careful. We have to be careful in every situation. And it's disheartening to me because the Bible, and this is how I raise my boys, I always say the Bible says, I may not be able to say it was John 6:25, you know, but I can say that the Bible says, you know, this is what the Bible says about it. That should be our reference point. That should be our reference point. You know,
that's right.
Are they speaking the thing that the Bible is saying? The Bible says that don't be the one that is causing problems. And you know, it bothers me when somebody says, "Well, this person told me that." I know a situation where a friend of mine said that she's not talking to another friend now because someone told her that the friend was talking about her and had said some derogatory things about her. And I was like, I told the sister, I said, well, okay, first of all, why would someone tell you that?
Yeah.
Because it's bringing, you know, discord. And the Bible talks about you not bringing discord.
That's right.
So why would somebody advise you to divorce? Because that's not biblical.
Right. Yes, right.
That's right.
Right.
So if someone is telling me, you know, I'm coming to you for advice, and someone is telling me, you know, that that maybe this is not what God had for you, I'm going to look at you kind of crazy. Because you should be saying to me, well, no, try to work it out and let's pray about it. We've gotten away from that. I remember, you know, the all-night services where they're so different from now, where you would go to pray. And you would pray. And nobody got up and gave any words.
No one got up. Right, yes. All night.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Bring your pillow and get on your knees, and that was it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they believed in backing up through the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it's important to whatever advice that we're given, and it's important to know this. If somebody is in authority that want to give advice, then it's okay to say, could you please show me that through the Word?
Yeah, cross-reference.
Yes,
I always have that, yeah.
But because we're in a society where, you know, we want everything to feel right, we don't want to go through any something that doesn't make us feel good. We want to feel good. We want the person to agree with how we're feeling.
That's
how,
right.
You know, go along with. He did that. Oh girl, I wouldn't take that. I wouldn't take that. I hear people say that, and I'm like, okay, but. You know, Jesus took
Yeah.
He took Israel. He took, you know, he took Judas. He knew Judas was going to betray him, but, you know, he didn't cast Judas out.
That's
he
right.
Until his due time, when he was, you know, according to the word of God, he stayed there.
Yeah.
So we, you know, I don't know. I'm on a tangent now.
That's all right. That's all right.
I do that often, but
there's a dangerous phrase that when you hear somebody say, I mean, it is true, but then we have to understand that, okay, the phrase is, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be happy. And what does that really mean? Okay, yeah, I do want happiness. I want to be happy. But my happiness supersedes my obedience to God. Because
exactly.
If my happiness is going against what God says I should do, then that's a happiness that I'm not supposed to get.
But then is it really happiness? It just appears to be. It just appears to be happy. It appears that, you know, if you separate and divorce your husband, that you're going to find something better. You know, you're going to find something that's more feasible to you. But the problem is, it might be you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It might be you that's the problem. And so you're coming out of this relationship, but you're taking you, who is the problem, into the next relationship.
Into the next relationship.
That's right. That's right. And that's what I see in a lot of people who've been divorced a couple of times. I met someone who's been divorced three times, and they was speaking about this problem. But yet you can see the problem was within the person, you know? But, you think about who they're running from. They're running from themselves. And you know what? A lot of times the media plays a big importance. It's something else. How we try to emulate the lifestyle of the rich and famous, but their morals are not intact.
Very good point.
And we know as Christians, we know that what they're doing is not right. You know, because
right.
They are jumping from room to room, from bed to bed, we know that, and you can see that they look all shiny and glittery, but yet there's no happiness and there's an emptiness. I guess being actors and doing plays and so much that they play so much with their emotions that they can't even cipher what is real and what is not real in their lives. And you can see that a lot of times when you see when you read about some of these entertainers, and you know, it is something else. God wants us to be real with Him, and the more we are real with God, God will shine through us of the realness and the real things that will come around us in our lives, you know, and it will affect us more emotionally. And we'll know that, hey, this is the real God. This is real God dealing with me. This is God dealing with me. A lot of times I cried in my room because I wanted to be with my family again. I wanted my family back, you know. And that is just a heart of a father. My father used to tell me, he said, the heart of the father, he always cries out for his family. And that's one thing that the devil is trying to destroy. It's the institution of families, you know, the family of Christ, the family of, you know, of unity, of morals, the family of family values. And he's always trying to attack this. So any way he can attack the marriage, he attacks the family. And a lot of times we got to come against that and say, hey, no, we're not going to let you get away with this, you know.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, we. But you know something, I as you were talking, I was thinking about how you were saying about the movie stars and everything. I know years ago, I was a avid soap opera watcher. One Life to Live, All My Children, General Hospital. I didn't do the other ones. I didn't do the other ones. But those were the ones that I watched until one day I was watching it, and it was like, you know, like it just dropped in my head. This is mess. Why am I watching this mess? Everybody has been with everybody. Everybody has been, got children. They all connected, interconnected, and, you know, and I stopped watching them. I stopped watching them. I watch other stuff, you know, not that I don't watch some junk. I watch some junk, but I can't. Now, when I hear people talking about Scandal, I said, why would I want to watch something named Scandal? Because you know it's mess. The haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
It sickens me when I see it. But we have allowed ourselves. Our forefathers said that the TV was of the devil. Now, I don't agree with that. I believe that we should have taken that. You know, we should have taken that, and then we would have been in control. You know, but God knows He's not surprised by anything. But it's what our eye gates take in. That is what drives us. You know, with the desires that we have, with the dissatisfactions that we have, you know, we take on the characteristics, like you were saying, Steve, of those movie stars. And so, you know, we're all messed up because we're thinking that our life is supposed to be just a bed of roses all the time. Life is not like that. You're going to have some fun.
Oh, it's not.
You're going to have some. You know, you're going to have some where you got to be able to say, I don't feel like being bothered with this man or this woman, you know, but I know that I have to. When I'm looking at television, then I can say, well, you know, so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so. And we have corrupted ourselves, you know, with the things that we look at on television. I believe that has been a breakdown of the church. It's okay to look at stuff, you know, but not to take it in. And then when you become obsessed with it, I see it's shocking to me. You know, I see the people of God are the one. Well, that's like almost 100% of who I'm connected with. Well, I'll say about 97% of who I'm connected with on Facebook are the people of God. But so many of them they're talking about Scandal.
I've never looked at it,
but to me, just that name. You know, just that name would turn me off. And I mean, you can enjoy stuff. You can look at stuff. I don't have a desire to look at it. I've never even looked at it. I think maybe I looked at one episode. I don't even know if I looked at the whole episode, but I knew that it wasn't something that I wanted to see, the haves and the have-nots. I knew that it wasn't something that, you know, just the commercials. When you look at OWN, and I tried to look at OWN, you know, for Oprah's ratings, but when I see the commercials, I'm like, oh my God, why?
Yeah.
How could we enjoy that? How could we enjoy a man in his office kissing up on a woman all in her breasts and everything? We're not sensitive to the Lord. We're not sensitive to the things of God anymore. And I am by no means, you know, perfect. And I do things that
I know that, you know, may not be, you know, totally sanctimonious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that I just go out and sin, but just, you know, just some things. But I think that because of the world and the way that the world is now, that it has caused us to stray from some of the things of God. I'm just, you know, I'm just sorry. We still have to be careful. When I first got saved, I always said, this is a sacrificing way.
It is.
It's a sacrificing way. I got to sacrifice, you know, some of the things because I used to, you know, wear my tight pants and, you know, wear my, do you remember these Danskins, Michelle? You remember Danskins? They look like swimsuits, but they weren't swimsuits.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I used to wear me some Danskins now. But but when I got saved, I still liked them. I still, you know, had the shape to be able to wear them. But I was like, no, you know, I can't. I can't because my church says, you know, that this is the way I'm supposed to dress. So, you know, that's the way I dress. We couldn't even wear, I used to wear a little bitty, I never liked big jewelry, but I used to wear a little, just a little thin ring on my finger. And when I got saved, I went to the pastor and I said, well, you know, I've been around the church, but I've never been saved. So, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. This is another thing that we don't do. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? He said, you got to take that ring off because we don't wear rings. And I'm looking at the little bitty ring. And I'm like, well, okay. And I took it off.
Legalism.
It is legalism, but I looked at it as I wanted to be saved. So if that's what they told me I had to do to be saved, you know, then that's what I want. We don't have that now. Everybody has a mind of their own. Everybody has a mind of their own, and they want to do, you know, what seems right to them.
Yes.
But the Bible says that it may seem right, but it could lead you to hell.
You're right. It also goes back to about advice, because I think, like you said, I grew up in that same type of organization, but I mean, it was like it gets to a point where there is a sense of self-righteousness, and if you don't do it my way, you're going to hell, and that is not what God is saying. You know what I mean?
So we have to say
it's important to go according to the Word of God, not to a lot of different a list of 30 things that we're not supposed to do because that's what we want y'all to not do.
Well, our forefathers were not as intellectual as we are now, so I believe that. But the rules that they put on us, even though they were biased against women, but I believe that the rules that they put on us was to keep us in the center of God, you know, not too far to the left or to the right, but to center us in God. And because of the lack of education, people were not able to read, and so they basically what the pastor said, even though it wasn't in the Word of God, what the pastor said was the gospel because they couldn't read anyway. So, you know, but now people are more intellectual, and now I think that it's a point where if the pastor tells you, you know, that, like say for marriage, the pastor tells you that you shouldn't marry this person, then because it's not in the Word of God, verbatim, you know, you shall not marry Steve Jackson. you know, that's another way the enemy has tricked us. Now we don't want to come under authority. Now we don't want to come under authority of man, and we want you to spell out everything. Some things are not spelled out specifically in the Bible, but the Bible also says that to obey them, to have rule over you. So now if you're not telling me something totally crazy and ridiculous, then I need to be able to say, well, God, you know, you put this man over me, and if he's not right, then you straighten him out. But because you telling me to obey him, now I'm not talking about something crazy. We don't live in those times anymore where you can't tell me that I can wear red, you know, because that's crazy, you know. But your leader should be able to tell you, you know, this and that. Also, the mothers of the church, they were very instrumental in my salvation when I got saved. You know, I would rather say, daughter, your skirt is a little too short now. You need to lower those hems or something. Back when I got saved, all we did was say, yes, ma'am. You know, now the mothers are scared to say anything, you know, because it's such a rebellion in the church. And I know we're just like way off of the marriage thing, your testimony, but we choose to, if someone tells us something and it's because we don't like it, then we choose not to accept what they're saying, even though it may be sent from God directly to us.
Amen. I know that our time is very far spent, and we just thank God for that testimony that went forth, and even the time, that time of discussion after the testimony about the marriage. But just wanted to share that, just letting people know that God is able, through this testimony, that God is able to do anything, even in the case of reconciliation, as the couple has testified how good God is. And I think at the beginning or near the beginning of their testimony of how they came about even to be separated and then came back together, they based their marriage on the Bible, where it said, and they referenced 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and where Paul said, "And unto married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." And those are very strong words that, especially in today's society, seemingly hard to keep, maybe even impossible to keep. But the testimony went forth to say that through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the leading of the Lord and being willing to do what the Lord says, that they were victorious and not just totally dissolving that marriage that God had put together, because the Bible says, whatever God has put together, let no man, and let no man even includes the couple themselves, put asunder. We just thank God for that testimony, hopefully and prayerfully, and we expect that someone is blessed by those words to let them know that whatever your relationship is, that there can be reconciliation, because our God is a God of reconciliation. The biggest way that he showed that is that he reconciled us to himself, because we were dead in sin, but he reconciled himself reconciled us to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And now here we are alive and well in the kingdom on our way to heaven and enjoying the trip and doing all that we can and must do along the way to just help build up the kingdom of God. And we just praise God for that. And I do notice that there are some callers on the line, and just want to open up the line to them if they want to have some, if they have a word of testimony as well.
Hello.
Amen. You're on the air.
Oh, praise the Lord. Good morning, brother and sister.
Good morning.
Burns.
God bless you.
Yeah, it's real early over here in California. But I thank and praise God that I woke up and had y'all on my mind, so I tuned in, and I'm glad I did to listen to that Brother Steve and Sister Michelle's testimony. And, you
Amen.
Know, I go back to when I first got saved. I came from Europe, you know, full of drugs and living a whole different lifestyle. So when I came in church, I came in with the attitude of needing a wife, but was willing to wait on God. But I had some siblings, my sisters, they were saved, and they had husbands that were no longer in church. And I remember the pastor telling them that, you know, they were stuck for the rest of their life, even though, you know, their husbands wasn't saved when they first got in church. And so I began to research the Bible for myself, and I studied a series called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage to see what did God say. And I was a new Christian in the church, but God impressed upon my heart then to study the Word of God. And as I began to read, I read the only divorce that God ever instituted in the Bible was the children of Israel. You know, this is way back in the book of Chronicles when he told all the husbands to leave their wives. And, you know, these brothers cried and they boo-hooed and they begged the prophet. No, I mean, whatever God say, we're going to do. And the reason why God instituted that one divorce was because of the bloodline that Jesus was to come down. And so when I got to the new, I read, you know, just what Sister Michelle was saying, you know, that the Bible, Jesus said, yeah, Moses gave a bill of divorcement because of the hardness of the people heart. But from the beginning,
right,
it says it was never so. And that's where you get what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And just
Amen.
Growing up in the church, I have watched several friends, you know, get married and swear by heaven that God sent their mate. And you couldn't tell them nothing different. But then all of a sudden when their marriage was tested and tried, they slapped God in the face and said, no, that ain't my wife. And they went out and found another one. And I'm like, well, how can you do that? If you swore by heaven that that was your mate and now you divorce, what are you telling God? That he made the mistake? And we know God don't make mistakes. So I love what Sister Michelle said, that God had to deal with her. And, you know, this is what the body of Christ got to start doing. We've got to take the word for ourselves. Yeah, Brother Steve, he going to work on Steve. But when you're in a relationship and you got problems, you got to see what you have done. And in relationships, we do bring a lot of junk into the relationship, and we never get healed from the junk, so we bring that to the relationship, and then we create junk in the relationship, and we pile that stuff on our mates in the relationship so that when things start going wrong, we easily say, well, it's the other person, and it ain't us. So, but I thank God how he was able to speak to you, Sister Michelle, to tell you no matter what, you go back and reconcile to your husband. This is, I mean, I love this testimony. I wish everybody in the world could hear this. This needs to be taped and put out on the market, how God still speaks if you listen. So I thank and praise God for you, Sister Michelle, and you, Brother Steve, for listening to the Spirit of God, because, again, what he says, what he put together, can't no man put asunder. And, you know, watching TV and listening to these high-powered preachers that's allowing folks to get divorced for whatever reason, what the Bible says, you know, history repeating itself. And we're going back doing the same things they did back in the old. So reading the old, where man was able to separate from his wife for any reason. If she burnt the toast, she talked too loud, didn't fix the water the way that I wanted the water, you could divorce her. And this is what it looked like happened in the church again. We're allowing that spirit of divorce to just have free course. But I thank and praise God that I hear that there are those that are still standing, holding to the truth. So I'm going to keep you two in prayer, that God continue to do what he's doing for y'all in y'all life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. It's good to hear from you this morning. We have we have one other caller on the line. I think that's our sister Arlene. Sister Arlene, did you have a testimony or want to have a prayer request or anything? And don't feel any pressure to say anything. I'll give you a moment to see if you want to. Amen. The line is open for you. Amen. And if not, we just thank God for the broadcast today. I will add that for those of you tuned in late, this was a pre-recorded or a re-airing of a prior testimony. Minister Burns is out of town, and we're just filling in for her today. And throughout the month of October, we were rehearsing some of the testimonies that had gone forth throughout the year, because going into this month of November, we are at the one-year mark of this broadcast, which is just an awesome thing that we're excited about. And she just wanted to share some of the testimonies that had gone forth. And then next week she'll be back, and then whatever the Lord is leading her to do, whether it's more of the same or if the Lord has a new direction for the broadcast. But we're just excited to see what will continue to happen with this broadcast that they overcame. We just want to acknowledge our overall host, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. And she wasn't able to join us today. Usually we see her on the line at some point, but we just praise God for her and just ask the listening audience continue to just hold her up in prayer, that as she pursues this ministry of God, a great ministry that's going across the airways worldwide, that God's will be done and that her every need will be supplied. And we just believe and trust God for that. And as I stated, I just thank everyone for joining us today. Time is very far spent, but good time. But as we end today, we just say thanks, everyone, for joining us. And as we always say every week, we just want to praise you, Lord.
I just want to praise you
forever, come on.
Forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
can tell it.